Robert the Cat's Terrible Dilemma. Unlike most of the residents of the North Woods and the Big Meadow and the area surrounding, Robert the Cat was not a wild animal. Most of the time, Robert lived in a house with some people, but he did spend a lot of time in the North Woods because that was where he liked to hunt. A lot of the other animals did not like Robert. They did not like him because he didn't hunt in order to eat. He didn't need to. The people he lived with fed him every day. He hunted because he liked to. He hunted for fun, or something like it. And he didn't eat the animals that he killed. When Robert killed William the morose marmot, he did not eat him. He just dragged William's corpse around for a bit, and when he got tired of that, he left him lying out in the tall grass near the edge of the big meadow. Then he trotted back to the house where he lived, so he could lie on the living room rug and spend a couple of hours carefully licking his paws. It was Charlotte the Crow who ate William. Well, Charlotte and a few other crows, along with Burke and Chase, the Maggot brothers, and a few dozen of their fraternity buddies. And once the frat party had moved on, Tiffany and Stephen, the blue blowflies, hooked up with each other somewhere in the middle of what remained of William's slowly decomposing carcass. And yet, in spite of the fact that Robert had, in a way, provided some of them with a pretty tasty meal, and others of them with a warm and cozy place for their romantic assignations, afterwards, more or less all of them said some pretty unkind things about him. Over time, a few of these derogatory remarks made their way back to Robert's furry little ears. One day, Robert was crouched in some Saskatoon bushes near the edge of the big meadow. He was hoping to catch Ferdinand the American goldfinch on one of his wildly careening, drunken flights. As he lay there, waiting for the dipsomaniacal songbird to fly past, he overheard Remington Polecat speaking to someone on his cell phone. Like many of the animals in the North Woods, Remington was under the impression that when he was speaking on his cell phone, he was being very quiet indeed. But he was not. He was being very loud. Even old Grandpa Turtle, whose hearing was no longer very good, would have no trouble hearing him. And so Robert, who had very excellent hearing, was able to hear every word that Remington said quite clearly. "Oh, he's no hunter. He's just a dabbler," Remington snorted. "His family has money. I understand he won't even eat that dry food. Only canned." The animal on the other end of the conversation said something that even Robert, silent and intent as he was, could not quite make out. Remington laughed a smug and hearty laugh. "Ha! That's for sure. And have you seen that collar? What is he thinking? It's so..." The polecat was silent. The animal on the other end of the line said something. "Exactly!" Remington erupted in laughter again. Robert suddenly felt his collar tight around his neck. Honestly, he had always kind of liked it. He thought it made him look sophisticated. He thought it set him out from the crowd. He had always believed that the other animals looked quite naked without one. But at this moment, he didn't like it. It felt silly. He wanted to get it off right now. As soon as Remington was safely out of earshot, Robert started trying to get one of his paws between his furry neck and his now hated collar. With a little bit of trouble, he managed this. But he couldn't get enough purchase with one paw to tear it off, so he slowly worked his other front paw in. This wasn't helping. He rolled around on the grass a bit, trying to get the thing off, but it just wouldn't come. Then he remembered something that one of the people he lived with had once said. Robert had just finished jumping up on top of the fridge from the floor. This had clearly impressed the people who were standing in the kitchen at the time, and Robert himself a little, if the truth be told. Anyway, the man had said to the woman that most of a cat's power was in his bum. Robert thought about that now. It was true. Whenever he was in a fight with another cat, he tried to bring his back legs into it as soon as possible. He could really kick hard with them. He thought to himself, Why can't I use that power to get rid of this damn collar? So slowly and with great difficulty, by rolling onto his back and wriggling, he managed, finally, after much struggling, to get both his back feet in between his collar and his furry little neck. He was quite tired and breathing very hard. Cats have very small lungs, and bouts of sustained exertion are not what they are all about. Robert lay there resting for a bit. It was not at all comfortable, twisted about in that strange position. And even though Robert was very flexible, even for a cat, he didn't want to stay like that for very long. He was just too vulnerable. It would be very easy for one of the bigger animals, who sometimes came through the North Woods, to catch him and eat him. He thought for a moment about Gwendolyn Blackbear. Although she had never really seemed hostile or ill-disposed towards him, Robert thought that she might not be able to pass up a chance of a tasty morsel such as himself if she happened to stumble across him tangled up in such a compromising position. The idea frightened him, and he gave up his attempt to remove his collar and began to focus on trying to remove his paws from behind it. This proved much more difficult than he had thought it would. Although the collar had, up till then, seemed a bit loose, it did not seem so now that all four of his feet were wedged in behind it, along with his neck. Now the collar seemed very tight indeed. Robert was stuck. He thought to himself that he could not get out of this predicament without help. But who would help him? A lynx is a kind of cat. That is to say, a lynx is a member of the cat family, although it is not at all like a house cat, but quite wild, and more than a little bit dangerous. Luckily for Robert, the lynx that happened by as he was struggling to extricate himself from his collar had very recently gorged herself on an enormous meal of snowshoe hares, and so she was less inclined than she might otherwise have been to kill and eat the contorted house cat. "Hello there," Robert cried out when he saw the big cat padding along. "Little help?" Victoria was a little taken aback by the sight of the tiny house cat with his legs all bound together lying there, panting in the deep grass. She wondered how on earth the animal had managed to get himself into such a predicament. But she had made a promise to herself not to be so judgmental, and so she said nothing and suppressed her eye roll as Robert stammered to explain himself. She didn't even sneer when he called her cousin. She just calmly freed the struggling cat and nodded silently at his effusive thanks. Robert thought to himself how lucky he had been as he watched Victoria pad silently back towards the woods. He must hurry home. It was almost dinner time.